Amen. Thank you for those thoughts, Darren. You've taken some of my scriptures from my message this morning, but that's okay. Let's start with prayer this morning. Sasha, would you lead us in a prayer this morning? Could everyone please stand and let us pray?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious Lord Jesus, who died for us on the cross. And Lord, that we have his testimony in our hearts now, and we came here to listen to his words and everything that you want us to hear today. And Lord, we thank you for salvation that you prepared for everyone in this world in Jesus, Lord. And many people suffer for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they suffer in prisons, Lord, and they can't be at the meetings today, Lord, in the church, Lord. But we are here today, Lord. And we just pray for those who are struggling and suffering and who are in sickness and unable to come and hear your will, and that you will strengthen all of them and encourage them. And Lord, we just pray that you will encourage us today through your word and help us to open our hearts and minds and accept everything that is going to be delivered to us today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Okay, the title of our message today is Deceived. And the question I have for you is, are you deceived? Now, according to the Oxford Dictionary, deceive means to cause to believe what is false or to be in error. And so the question is, are you deceived? Don't be offended. Are you? Let me ask you it in another way, perhaps. Are you right? I am. Aren't you? Like, if you were wrong, you'd change your thinking or your actions until you're right. And then you're right again. Right? There's nobody here today who's going to go, oh yeah, I deliberately believe something wrong. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to believe it anyway. No. Each one of us are right. Ah, but I hear some of you say, ah, but there's grey areas. There's some things that I'm not quite sure about. And that's true. We're all learning. There are a lot of things that we have to learn. Somebody has said that the day we stop learning is the day that we die, and I think that's a fair comment to make. I'm wrong all the time, as I'm sure you are too. I thought I could grow lettuces all year round in Tasmania. I discovered in summer they went bitter and they bolted and I couldn't keep the water up to them. And then winter time, the slugs moved in, they stopped growing. I've adjusted my thinking about how I grow lettuces, and now I grow them when they grow, springtime and autumn. They seem to go much better. Okay, I was deceived. I was wrong. Along comes this politician, and he looks good, and he sounds good, and he talks good. Oh yeah, he's a pretty good bloke. And then later on you find out he's leading a double life, or he's a hypocrite. You go, oh no, I was deceived. I was wrong. So I adjust my thinking again. We all make mistakes. We are all wrong. Most of the time. Some of the time. Frequently, infrequently. We all get deceived. However, there is no one in this room that is deceived all the time. That's wrong. That's not the right way of thinking. I always get it wrong. No, you don't. There are some things that you are right about. And neither is there anybody in this room here today that is always right. That is pride. We are not always right. Only God is omniscient. Only God knows everything. That is for God, that is not for us. So today, as we look to our sermon on deception or being deceived, I ask you, let down your guards. I'm not preaching at you any more than I'm preaching at me. We all err, the Bible says. Now, if there is, however, an area today that you do feel like the Lord is speaking to you about, don't harden your heart. Don't be afraid to acknowledge your mistake. Make your wrong right. Okay, so I want to emphasize, and I need to belabor this up front. I need to belabor, I am often wrong. And so I'm not setting myself up on some position having attained a special place. Okay? I think it's really sweet how loyal and just downright sweet my children are and how highly they think of their papa. But I really encourage all of you to go horse farming, living without electricity, driving a horse and buggy, training your own horses, and moving to a new state and trying to grow vegetables in there having never lived there before. It's really good for your humility. And so my children have lived through heaps of my mistakes on heaps of areas and levels. We all make mistakes, and we need to be able to say that. But you know, once upon a time, I was really deceived. I thought I was all right, and I was all wrong. If you open in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, we're going to read verses 3-8. In your Bibles, Titus chapter 3:3-8. Titus is at the end of the T's, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. After the Thessalonians, 5 T's actually. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Just stop there. Once upon a time, I was deceived. I thought that I knew there was a God. I acknowledged that there was a God. But I thought he had nothing to do with me, and I certainly had nothing to do with him. I didn't think he was interested in me, and that he was far too busy to be concerned with the likes of me. I was deceived. Big time. I was foolish, disobedient, deceived. I was serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was me. Was that you? But it doesn't end there. Praise God. It doesn't end there. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, toward man appeared. Jesus Christ appeared to me. And someone explained to me that the blood of Christ cleanses me from my sins. The blood of Christ reconciles me to God. My sins were standing in the way of fellowship with God. And Jesus came and died to reconcile me to himself. Not by works of righteousness which I had done, nor you, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified, acquitted, set free, by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Are you deceived? When I lived in that state, I thought I had everything that life had to offer. But you know, when Christ appeared to me, I had joy. It was like every hair on your head and your body stands on end. That which I thought was colour, I discovered to have been black and white. Now it was colour. Before, I thought my life was full, but suddenly every smell and every sight, everything became alive and became real to me. I had been deceived. And the nature of deception is this. When you are deceived, you don't even know it. And that is what deception is. It is an error that we are believing and we don't know. I was talking on the phone the other night to a man I know. He called me up by accident. And he said to me, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good. You know, I do to other people pretty good. And I think that it's going to work out all right for me. And I said to him, you know, there is only one name by which we can be saved. That's Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. I think there is a God. Yeah, and you know, he's pretty pleased with me because I do to other people pretty good. And I said, no, I'm sorry. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace he saves us. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure I'll go that far. I'm sorry, he is deceived. There is no work of righteousness that you or I can do. It is by his grace that he saves us. Okay. Again, I ask you, are you deceived? If you don't know Christ personally, if you have not committed your life to him personally, and that you have a relationship of love where he speaks to you and you to him, you are not experiencing the fullness of what life has. Commit now. Do it today. Don't hold back. Okay. That is the first level of deception that we need to deal with. The next one, the Bible, I've gone and put it into 8 different categories. And some of these categories overlap, and I apologize for that. But we have 5 internal and 3 external. So 5 areas of deception that involve just you, just your inner man. And then 3 that are outside sources. So let's look at them. The first one, sin. Romans 7 verse 11. I'm going to run through these scriptures pretty quick. You can follow in the Bible if you want to, but I might be a little bit quick for you to flick there, okay? So I'll give the reference and I'm going to start reading it straight away without waiting for you. Romans 7 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Sin, deceived, and then overcome. In Hebrews 3:13, which we've already heard today, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That word there, hardened, means to render stubborn. So sin renders us stubborn. The more we sin, the more stubborn we get, which is a downhill slope. So the more you sin, the less you want to repent. And yet God calls us repent. In 2 Kings 22:19, you remember Josiah. And they found a scroll of the law. And the state of Israel was in a pretty miserable state at that time. And they found a scroll of the law and they read out that they were not supposed to be idolaters and things like that. And they went, oh no, we're done for. What do we do? And they went to the prophet, I think it was a prophetess actually, and she said, she had a message from God to Josiah and said, because thy heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself, then all the curses mentioned was not going to happen to him. And so today, for each and every one of us, I encourage you, let your heart be tender. Don't let it be stubborn. Don't be hardened. Now, in the Word, we have 3 times where we're commanded, be not deceived. The first one, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through to 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Please note, such were some of you. Christ cleanses us. Remember in Titus 3, verses 3 to 8, for we ourselves were sometimes, and then there was a list of things. And so we were, but Christ cleanses us. And then he wants us to live righteously. And so he commands us, righteousness is a sign of his kingdom. Be not deceived. The ungodly will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived about this. Do not go back to your old life. Do not go back like the sow to her wallowing, like the dog to her vomit. You have been cleansed. Stay clean. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 to 34. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Okay, that word there, communications, is the Greek word homilia, meaning companionship. Okay, in the original King James Version, it was translated companionship. And then good manners there is actually moral excellence. So let's read that again. Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt moral excellence. Did we get that? Do we understand that? Evil company will corrupt moral excellence. Do not be deceived. And so many are deceived in this manner. People say, oh, well, look, I know Bob's a drinker. I know he swears too much. I know he smokes, but it doesn't affect me. Right there, you are deceived. It is going to affect you. Okay, authorized rabbit trail number one. Parents, you need to help your children. All the parents in this room. And children, you need to go to your parents and ask for help. This is important. We have a lot of grey hairs in this room today. Children, after the service, you go and ask some of the grey-haired people here about this subject. Children, be open on this subject. There have been more people, I think, destroyed, their faith corrupted and lost for all eternity through this one thing. Young people especially, you are vulnerable. You do not see down the road like old people do. You don't see the pitfalls in front of you. And especially young ladies, if you think that you could marry a young man that's, well, I know he's not committed to Christ, but it'll work out all right in the end, I'm sure it will. As one preacher said, what you'll get is a lifelong spanking. Be not deceived. I'll ask all the parents and the grey-headed after the service this afternoon how many children came up and asked them for some advice on this subject. I'm serious. The older people can really speak some wisdom on this one, children. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 9. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. What we sow, we will reap. Be not deceived. There were three, be not deceived. Okay, going on in Ephesians 5, verses 1 through to 7, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Okay, our subject here is sin. And the subject of our sermon this morning is being deceived. Do not be deceived by evil companions. Do not be deceived by thinking that people who live ungodly lives will be entering the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived in thinking that this list of sins here are okay with God because some man with empty words told you so. It is your job not to be deceived in this area. Here's a question for you. Is the wrath of God the result of wrong thinking or of wrong behavior? These people here were not being judged, as it were, for wrong thinking. They were being judged, as it were, by wrong behavior. The conclusion, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them," as in, depart from sin. Let no man deceive you with vain words to the contrary. Okay, the third topic. So the first one was sin. The second one is riches. The Bible speaks very clearly in the parable of the sower. And it says that some seeds fall among thorns. And it says here, "And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word of God, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts after other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." So riches and material goods are deceitful. Obviously, they're alluring. Who doesn't want a little more? Who couldn't use a little bit more riches? Riches breed security and they blind the eyes, deceiving the soul of its true needs. Humility, dependence on God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are rich and full and satisfied, we do not seek God, and that is not right. In Mark 10:23-24, Jesus said to his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." In Revelation 3:17, the Laodicean church, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see." Riches blind our eyes and deceive us as to the true riches. Okay, the third topic that the Bible warns us about, we have to be careful not to be deceived by. And this one's a hard one. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Proverb 28:26 says, "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walks wisely, he shall be delivered." To walk wisely is to look to the word of God. To trust one's own heart is foolish. Our hearts lead us astray. In Deuteronomy 11, verses 16, God says to the Israelites, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." Today, there are many gods that we worship. We worship money, we worship travel, we worship sport, we worship fashion. Who do you worship? Do you worship God only? In Obadiah 3, the prophet Obadiah says, "The pride of thine heart has deceived thee." Our inner motives are indeed deceptive. We would all like to think of ourselves and our decisions as pure, upright, and honorable. But if we would be honest, do we not see selfishness, laziness, and all manner of impure motives when we look at our decisions? If we would be honest, don't we see that? Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And as an antidote, we have Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, the next point of deception, and this kind of overlaps, and I apologize for that. The third point is our heart. The fourth point is ourself. The Bible talks about ourself. Galatians 6 verse 3 says, "For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Again, it's the pride of our heart. When we think we are someone, when we think we have arrived, we have probably deceived ourselves. In James 1:22, it says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And in chapter 1, verse 26, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain." It's empty. It's worthless. So here we have, we deceive ourselves if we hear the word and then don't put it into action. And that's what I said at the start. If God, through this sermon today, through the preaching of the word, you hear something and you go, "Oh, that's right. I did that. I've never apologized about that." And you go, "Oh, it doesn't matter now." You deceive your own self. If you hear something in the word, "Do this, don't do that," and you don't do it, then you deceive yourself. In 1 John 1:8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." 1 Corinthians 3:18, "Let no man deceive himself." Jeremiah 37 verse 9, "Deceive not yourselves." And the last one, on internal one, is called lusts. Now, we use that word, and it's an old English word, to mean something else today. But it's really, I'm talking about wants, desires, coveting. Ephesians 4:22-24 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Our lusts, our desires, our wants, our self-life deceive us. In our life prior to Christ, we lived according to our wants and desires. We never asked God what his will was for our life, and so our life, by definition, was corrupt. Our lives as Christians should be governed by God's will, and the life of Christ in us will be righteousness and true holiness. In James 1, verses 13 to 14, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Our carnal desires draw us away from God. From God's plan for our life, they entice us into thinking it would be best to do something else. And we are so easily deceived. Okay, so that was the last one. We had sin. We had sin, we had riches, we had our heart, ourselves, and our desires. And I apologize, they do kind of overlap and intermingle there. In our walk of holiness before the Lord, our carnal self is a real enemy, and we are called to die to it, to put it to death, and to mortify it. If we let it deceive us in whatever way, the end thereof is death. Let us be warned. Do not be deceived. Okay, the next three. The next category is deceivers, evil men, false teachers, and false prophets. So like I said, in the first category, all those things that can deceive us come from within us. You could be sitting by yourself on a tractor on top of a hill out in the bush, and you can still be deceived about something. No outside influence. Okay? You can be standing in the kitchen, mixing up a cake batter in a bowl, all by yourself, and be deceived. And so we need to guard against those deceptions there that are internal. But now I'm talking about something external. Something coming to you, offering you something that desires for you to be deceived. And this is the first topic. Deceivers, evil men, false teachers, and false prophets. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In Titus 1, 10 to 11, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy money's sake. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Please note, deceivers look like the ministers of righteousness. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Ephesians 5:5-6, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Colossians 2:4, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. In verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and a worshipping of angels. Romans 16, verses 17 to 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Okay, and we see here over and over and over again, men deceiving, beguiling, seducing, leading astray. 2 Peter 2, the whole chapter, you can read that, look it up and read it, but just the high points, as it were, there were false prophets and there shall be false teachers sporting themselves with their own deceivings and beguiling unstable souls. In Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. In Proverbs 1, verse 13, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There are deceivers and enticers and seducers who desire to take captive of you. In that verse that we read there in Colossians, that word spoil, do not be spoiled. That word spoil, remember when one army used to capture another army and then they spoiled the tents? And what they're saying is the deceiver is going to spoil you. He's going to take away your riches. What is your true riches? Christ. So he who seeks to deceive you seeks to take away your true riches. Paul, on the other hand, pointed out in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And he set a pattern for us Christians. We are to walk honestly. We are not to be conniving and sneaking and having hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness. That is not the way of the Christian. That is the way of the deceiver. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 to 5, Paul says, our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So we have a difference between the Christian way of doing things and a way of deceit. And we are not to be deceived, but we also, as Christians, are not to be deceitful. Okay, so that's the first one, evil men and deceivers. The second one, maybe I should have put first. The second one kind of really is the first one. It's a no-brainer. Satan. Satan, right in the very first time that he appears in the Bible, comes up to Eve and says, yay, hath God said. And immediately, rather than being honest, open, up front, he beguiles. He tricks, he lies, he deceives. And through the entire Bible, we have Satan revealed to us as the deceiver. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, it says that the serpent beguiled Eve. Jesus, in John 8, chapter 8, verse 44, talks of Satan and describes him. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's from our Lord Jesus Christ, talking about Satan. In Revelations 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Which deceives the whole world. On the subject of being deceived, deceit and deceitfulness, this guy is deceit. In all of us, no matter how little you think of yourself and how low is your self-esteem, there is much good in you. Much good. In Satan, there's none. None. There's no good. He is the father of all lies and he is all evil. Revelations 20, verse 2 and 3. The angel laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more Then in Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. And then in Revelation 20, 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of the fire and brimstone. Please note, when Satan is being described, the word deceive, deceived, and liar is right there. Okay, so that's point two. That's point two. And then the third point, and again, this might be overlapping. I divided it into 3 points. Maybe I could have done two. But I have the end times. I have the Antichrist. I have the beast, the false prophet, and I have Babylon. And again, even within these categories here, some of these are overlapping. Okay, but we're on the subject of deceit, deceived, being deceived, and outside influences. So first of all, we had false teachers, evil people deceiving. We have Satan. And now we have some very specific things towards the end of the age being mentioned. In Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5, Jesus answered, the disciples had asked him a question about when is the end of the age, when is the destruction of Jerusalem, and when shall be the second coming of Christ? So there was 3 questions asked, and he gave one answer. And so it's up to your discernment to figure out which parts apply to which question. And we're not going to look into that today. We're just looking at deceit. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That's verses 4 to 5. In verse 11, Jesus said, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. In verse 24, and there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Now, just have a look at that little bit, behold, there. And somebody said this to me once. If it's in the Bible once, it's important. If it's in the Bible twice, it's very important. And here, Jesus says it twice, and then he says, behold, I told you before. So it's almost like pointing it out 3 times. These people are going to arise at the end of days. There are going to be deceivers who shall deceive many. There are deceivers, and if it be possible, that they will even deceive the Christians. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 to 4, we beseech you, brethren, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In verse 8 to 10, that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And so we see here again, this is in 2 Thessalonians 2, that the hallmarks of the end of time is deceiving people. Revelations 13:13-14. The second beast, which is actually the false prophet, he doeth great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. Revelation 16:13, and I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. Revelations 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These were both cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Okay, so where we see the beast and the false prophet, we see the words deceiving, miracles, wonders, deceiving. In Revelations 18:23, we have Babylon. And you can read Revelations 18, and there's a whole interesting story just in the story about Babylon. But it says specifically about Babylon, and I think it's talking about, yes, a specific place, but also this whole world system as we know it. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And I know this is a small thing. I know this is a small thing. But we hear so often, oh, you can't do it like the way we used to do it in the old days. It doesn't work like that anymore. Why, you need a new car and a new tractor and new clothes and a new mix master and a new house and a new boat and a new shack and a new motorbike. And you just can't farm like you used to in the old days. And I feel like this whole entire world system, this telling us this story that we have to have, is all the nations were deceived. The nations who don't have these things want to get as much money as they can so they can have these things. And I think it's Babylon. I think it's the whole deal. The hallmark of end times is deception. Note the key words: false prophets, signs, wonders, miracles, lies, and lying. Christ's own warning: take heed that no man deceive you. Please note, Satan and all his hosts wants you for his kingdom, and to that end he will lie and seek to deceive you. If you are feeling the promptings of God's Holy Spirit of some sin, something that you need to take care of, something that you need to forsake in your life today, and you hear another voice saying, oh, no rush, what's the hurry? Don't be hasty. Tomorrow's a good time for that decision. Don't be deceived. God's speaking to you, and Satan is the one who says tomorrow, put it off to tomorrow. Oh, don't do it today. Don't say sorry today. Say it tomorrow. You know what will happen tomorrow. You'll forget. A recap. Internal deception. Our carnality, the love of sin, the pride of our heart, the love of money, all it can buy, the love of self and ease. We have been warned of the hardening effects of sin, the rendering of stubbornness. The righteous requirements to live a holy life. We mustn't think that we can live unholy or profane lives and be pleasing to God. We have been warned how evil companions lead us astray. We have been warned of the allurement of riches and material goods and how they entice us away from God. We have been warned against trusting our own heart. In our hearts lie the seeds of pride, selfishness, covetousness, and unholiness. And the enticing effect that sin and wrong living has upon us, we are commanded to resist it and forsake it. Remember, we don't know when we are in error often. The Word of God shows us how to live so that we are not deceived. Let the Word speak to your heart. Okay, in recap of the external things, there is a spiritual war. Satan is the general of a fiendish army. The beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are both yet to be revealed. We have false teachers and false apostles. They're his lieutenants. We have deceiving spirits who are his sergeants. And he has evil men, seducers, unruly and vain talkers, deceitful workers and deceivers who seek to beguile, seduce and deceive you who are his soldiers. It is a fiendish army. Satan is the general of it. And it is a war. Therefore, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Ephesians 6, verse 10 through to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a fleshly enemy. When I say there's a war, if you see I don't know what the tanks are called now. I was going to say a Sherman tank clattering down the road with a great big gun on the front. You go, oh, there's an enemy. It's a tank. It's in green camouflage and it's going to come and attack me. But this enemy is not flesh and blood. It's not steel and it doesn't fire little lead bullets at you. It's fiendish and you can't always see it. And it stalks about as a roaring lion seeking you. He's wily, the wiles of the devil. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I'm sorry, if everyone's here going, oh no, what's going to become of us? Now we have the solution. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I'll say, also, not get deceived. Okay? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Okay. If we do this, if we live a life of righteousness and we wear it as a breastplate, if we put truth on around our middle and belt it on like a girdle, like a belt, if our feet are busy spreading the gospel of the good tidings of Jesus Christ, if we have the shield of faith that can quench all the fiery arrows that the evil one shoots at us, if we have salvation on our head as a helmet, if we have the word of God. Now, where would you like the word of God to be in this war? Do you want it on the shelf gathering dust? No. I want you to have the word of God and have a shiny handle on it, because it fits in your hands real good. And I want you to know the balance of it so you can swing it really well. I want it written on the chambers of your heart so you know it so well that when you do war, when you are in a battle, you are familiar with your weapon. That's it. That's your weapon of attack. All the rest of defense, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is your weapon. Know your weapon well. It will keep you from being deceived. Now, in conclusion, I know you're all waiting for that word. In conclusion, we've been going for a while. I want to talk about something specific. I do. I believe that we are living in what is called the last days or the end times. In all honesty, I think that's actually been, the Christian church has felt that ever since Christ went up to heaven, it has been the last days. The Christian church, since the time of Christ, has lived in the expectation that any day Christ will return. And so should we. Throughout the gospel, Christ teaches us to be sober and watchful, to be ready. If you do not trust Christ for your salvation and cannot honestly claim the merits of Christ's blood and his atoning sacrifice, then today do so. Confess your sins to him and ask him to be your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. Young or old, and I mean that, young or old, tonight you may be called before God. Are you ready? Now, while tonight any of us may come before God, there are still, in the Bible, prophecies to be fulfilled. The appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet, maybe the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. There are things that we can see. We can see prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. And yet there are prophecies being fulfilled today. And one of those prophecies I want to draw our attention to, I've already read this scripture, is in 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving and being deceived. Now, one would have to have been in a far country. In actual fact, I don't think you can even say you've been in a far country to not observe the news of the last 18 months. The newspapers, the television, the radio, the internet, everything has been full of this worldwide pandemic that we are apparently experiencing at the moment. And we are told, because of this worldwide pandemic, we need to be quick and get a vaccination so that everything will be all right. At best, this is silly. At worst, this is a worldwide deception. First of all, the pandemic itself. Let's be straight here. The stories don't line up. We can't get real statistics about this disease anymore. We can't get about the death rate, for example. For example, if a person has heart disease and crossing the road gets hit by a bus, they didn't die of heart disease, they died of a motor vehicle accident. Yet with this pandemic, if you have COVID and you die of something else, that's a COVID statistic. We personally know of two people where their next door neighbours or friends died of something else while they had COVID, and the doctors put down that the death was from COVID. They did not die from COVID. So we can't get the truth. This is deception. That, doing that, is lying. And that is deceiving. Okay? That's the first point. The second point is people are dying from COVID. It doesn't not exist. Okay? It's a flu. It's a bad flu. And people die from the flu every year. People die from all sorts of things. And I am sure that people are dying from COVID. But is it a worldwide pandemic? Its true nature is being hid from us. We are being hidden from truth about this subject. And it's been hidden under layers and layers of misinformation and deceit. Okay, the second thing that I have a problem with, the testing of this disease. Some fella tests positive, a whole city is in lockdown, and then we find out it was a false positive. Another fella tests negative and goes on his way and infects a whole city, and it was a false negative. Now, if this disease is scientific, it must be provable, repeatable, observable. And it's not. And so we see confusion. We see uncertainty over the whole process. The origins of the disease. Again, there is no clear story. There's no lining up information here. Again, we have layers and layers of misinformation and deceit. Okay, which then leads us to the solution to the alleged problem, the vaccination. Okay? The vaccination is, from what I understand, is not a true vaccination, but it's an experimental gene therapy that the companies are selling have no liability regarding its outcome and yet can make huge profits from them. Okay? That in itself is wrong right there. Right there it's wrong. We are being allured to get vaccinated. If you get vaccinated, you'll be allowed to travel. If you get vaccinated, you could win $1 million. If you get vaccinated, you can get a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Why are we being allured to get vaccinated for? We are being frightened into getting vaccinated. If you don't get vaccinated, you'll have lifelong complications from COVID called long COVID. Or worse, if you are not vaccinated, you'll die within 2 years. And I've heard these things, and I'm sure you have as well. We are being pressured to get vaccinated. The social pressure via the news media that we must all get vaccinated. It's the right thing to do. It's, I want to be a responsible citizen. I must get vaccinated. And then we have the negative editorials. We have the hate and the vituperative opinion columns about all those who are not yet vaccinated. People are criticised. They are made to feel that they are part of a lunatic fringe if they don't conform. The next point, they are now going behind parents' backs to get children vaccinated. They're going into schools and saying, just nod your head, you don't have to put your hand up, we'll come to you and give you the vaccination. You do not need to ask your parents' permission. That is anti-God. That is wrong. And lastly, when you get vaccinated, you can still get COVID. And people are dying that have been vaccinated. Now, in light of all of that, I see deceit, I see lies, I see misinformation. So as Christians, what should we do? We are surrounded by mass propaganda and mind control. There are so many voices, so many opinions. They're all clamoring for our attention. People who initially didn't want the vaccine are going and getting it from fear, from pressure, from guilt. When we look around us, we see uncertainty. We see lies. We see propaganda. Brethren, what should we do? Let's take a step back for the first second. Let's take a step back. What should we do? Well, in the Bible, in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, it says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God does not speak to us like this, brethren. This is not God speaking to us, telling us to get vaccinated. This is lies, and this is deceiving. I've read it already, but Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Brethren, do not do anything out of fear. Do not be pushed, do not be panicked. God is on the throne. And God is not mocked. If you pray, you read the word, you seek advice from fellow Christians, God will lead you in paths of peace and truth. And finally, and I know this is a separate topic, and we could have this as a sermon all by itself. But let us have a due respect and regard for our earthly bodies. Though they are weak and they are compassed with many infirmities, Christ has chosen to dwell there, thereby sanctifying and making your body holy. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 17, it says, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. Now that vaccine is an experimental vaccine, and in a lot of cases it is doing more than harming the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is destroying it. Let me read that scripture to you one more time. And when it says the temple of God, you think in your head, my body. Know you not that you are the temple of God, your body, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, your body, him shall God destroy. For your body, the temple of God, is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. Brethren, let us not be dismayed. Let us not even be surprised at what surrounds us today. In John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do not be frightened by what we see, and more importantly, do not be deceived. As we get close to the very last days, there will be more and more deception, coercion, lies, and bullying. God has warned us, so let us be on guard and let us be expecting it. Until now, Christians in the West have enjoyed a relative peace, but we are witnessing a great falling away. See 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In our country, of truth and righteousness. It is sad to see, but it was prophesied to happen. These things shall wax worse as the end draws near. Again, let us be prepared and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Are you deceived? I trust not. Brethren, we have been warned. Be not deceived. Let your heart not be deceived. We've been warned of the deceitfulness of riches. We can deceive ourselves. Let no man deceive himself. Deceive not yourselves. Beware of deceitful lusts. Let no man deceive you. There are deceiving false prophets. There are evil men and seducers wanting to deceive. Cunning, crafty men waiting to deceive. Men waiting to beguile you, then spoil you. They will, by good words and fair speeches, deceive you. Satan and his whole host is out to deceive, to rob you of your reward in Christ. He does not play fairly, honorably, or by the rules. He is a wily, deceiving liar. So be sober and watching. Remember, you will not necessarily know error or know that you are in error. That is the nature of deception. And so you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where he speaks to you and you to him. He will lead you with peace. Don't rely on a man to interpret the word of God for you. Let the word interpret the word. Read it on your knees, figuratively speaking, letting the Holy Spirit guide you. John 16, verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Finally, forsake not the assembling with fellow saints, so that you can share and exhort one another in love, helping one another. And our last scripture for today, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let us stand and pray. Hallelujah, Father, glorious God. We thank you, Father, that you have prepared a way back through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have given him for our sins to reconcile us back to you, Father. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, which leads us into all truth. Thank you for your word, your holy word that you have given to us to show us that intents of our heart, to show us what is to come of future prophecies, and to lead us into and guide us in truth. Father, we live in troubled times, and yet we have your peace in our heart. We ask you, Father, especially regarding the time that we now live in, to lead us in peace and to continue to give us that peace. Let us not be overcome by fear. I pray against it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be overcome by pressure and people telling us that we are less for standing on your word and believing you in faith. Father, we trust you. We love you, Father. And we ask that you would keep us from evil in this evil day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.